Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 150 for the April 2020 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting, as we've been doing for the last 12 and a half years. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy. I encourage you to send in clips as often as you can to help promote the comics you love. Now, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. As always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And again, those highlights are picked by listeners like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick this month is on page 28. It is the previews catalog itself, specifically previews 381 for June 2020. Now, I'm not going to say that the pre-order system in comics is great or that everybody loves it. Some people love it, some people hate it, whatever. With the COVID-19 pandemic, I think previews is going to take on an increased importance, at least in the short term, as we figure out how publishers are adjusting their output, their schedule, their content. And I honestly don't know when the next previews catalog is coming out, much less this one that was going to be for June. That may be the next one, and it may just be, you know, 380 instead of 381. The thing is, things are changing in the comic industry right now, and this catalog is how we know what's coming out, what's going on in the release schedule and such. We're gonna see some definite change up of things in the next few months as the shutdown of or suspension of new comics releases lasts for an indeterminate amount of time. But whenever it spins up, previews is going to be where I look first to find out what's really going to get released in the future and what adjustments are the publishers making. Are they throttling back on their output? Are they doubling down? Are they continuing as they were before? Are they not? Don't know. Either way, previews is a great one-stop shop to do it. And I mean that both in terms of the print previews, but also previewsworld.com, which is the website for it, where you can find all of the same information. And I have a feeling over the coming weeks and months, that's going to be our first spot to find out what's really going on versus what's being announced, but maybe happens, doesn't happen, whatever. We're in a very fluid time here, and I always enjoy going through previews just to find out what's going on and what's coming out. So once again, my pick is the previews catalog on page 28. My next pick is on page 46 of the previews catalog. It is Black Hand and Iron Head Volume 1 Hardcover. Now, this is a hardcover collecting issues 1 through 5 of Black Hand and Iron Head that was done on PanelSyndicate.com. So if you've read that and you want to pick it up, this is a great way to do it in print, first time it's available in print. And if you're not sure what is this all about, well, Drew and I reviewed the first issue on the Weekly Comics Spotlight, and then James and I reviewed the final issue on the Weekly Comics Spotlight, so you can go look there for what we thought of it. Or you could just go to PanelSyndicate.com and check out the content, and if you like it enough, say, hey, I'll get the print version. Or you can just say, I'll read it digitally. That's fine, too. It's a good story. And given the suspension of new comics releases, checking out places like Panel Syndicate is a great idea if you're looking for things to read. I thought this was a lot of fun. I thought David Lopez, the writer, artist, did a great job on this, and it was a lot of fun. So once again, that's Black Hand and Iron Head Volume 1 Hardcover on page 46. My next pick is on page 56 from Image Comics. It is Black Magic number 12. Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott are back at it with a new arc for this title. I'm looking forward to it. I think he does great writing and she does amazing art, so it's a great combination. And it says it's going to come out on June 24th. We all know that between this getting printed and us talking about it now, things have happened in the world with the pandemic, so I don't know exactly when this is going to come out, but I do know that Diamond is expecting the orders as usual. So I'm going to go ahead and pre-order this. I enjoyed the series before. I was a little late getting on board, but I liked it. And I think it's a great creative team, and I want to show support for this during these times, and I'm looking forward to it whenever it does finally come out. So once again, that's Black Magic number 12 on page 56.
Dr. Mo here with an Image Comics pick. For the previews spotlight episode, it's Copra, the Octizen Saga, number 1. This new 4-issue series is the next chapter in Michel Pfeffer's ongoing superhero-ish narrative, Copra. And Copra is this pastiche of the Suicide Squad circa the 1980s. Now we're getting a bit more of Jack Kirby's fourth world stuff kind of thrown in there into the mix. And I quite frankly have been looking forward to this. It's been building in the pages of Copra for a while. I personally have not read all of the previous volumes of Copra prior to its Image Comics relaunch. However, this story arc has clearly been building, and the previous Copra series published under the Image eye has been leading little breadcrumbs, and now we're gonna see, you know, the fruits of that story arc. And based on the solicitation, it's gonna be full of carnage. It's gonna be full of chaos. It's probably gonna be some arms getting ripped off, because they kind of like to do that kind of thing. We're gonna see space gods. So again, think 1980s. Suicide Squad from DC Comics and the Fourth World. And there you have it. I think that Fefe's line work, his cartooning, it's incredible. The style is so distinct from pretty much anything else on the stands, or at least certainly anything that I'm reading. And he captures the fluidity of the movement of the characters, the panel layout. When a character punches somebody in the mouth, you can feel or the bones crunching and so forth. It's just such an impactful and powerful line style. And then this is a title that I think is totally under the radar, but it makes me, especially as someone who craves old school comic continuity. So, you know, it's a new comic and it makes you want to go back and read the older stuff to see how we've gotten to this point. Copra, the Octizen Saga number 1, can be found on page 57 of previews and costs $3.99.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm on page 58, and actually 59, because it's the same book, but it's issues 1 and 2 of Firepower by Kirkman and Samnee. And yes, by Kirkman and Samnee is part of the title, kind of like a weird, I don't know, what did they call it, ego thing or whatever. This is Robert Kirkman, Chris Samnee, and Matt Wilson, who does not get his name in the title. Matt's an excellent colorist. And they created a new book, action-adventure, from Skybound imprint. And this is a series premiere, so I can't tell you much about it because we have never read it. But the one thing I will tell you is Robert Kirkman, sometimes he writes things that are very good. Sometimes he writes things that are okay, because there's a few titles he's written, like Outcast, which really weren't that good to me. And he's written some other ones, like Walking Dead or Invincible, which are amazing. I'm hoping this one, you know, veers towards the amazing category. But I'm going to read you what the first one says, because honestly, I can't tell you why you should pick this up other than the creative team is good. But it says, "The one who wields the firepower is destined to save the world, but Owen Johnson has turned his back on that life. He doesn't want the power. He never did. He only wants to spend time with his family and live his life. But unseen forces are at work to make that impossible. Danger lurks around every corner as Owen's past comes back to haunt him." So, sounds like it could be kind of cool. You see this guy with a little flaming ball in his hand. I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it'll be great, but based on the creative team and based on Robert Kirkman, I'm going to give it a try. I recommend you guys, if you're a Robert Kirkman fan or a Chris Samnee fan, check this out, and on to my next pick. Hey, this is James coming back with another pick in Image. I have a lot of Image picks this month. And this time, I'm on page 65. And this was a book I shouted out before when it was in single issues. And I'm going to shout it out again. And not to make it weird, but it's a book that kind of deals with weaponized disease, weaponized cancer, that I think is pretty on the nose for what we're all going through with this pandemic. But also, it's a very good, good read. It's a very good book. The Clock Trade Paperback by Matt Hawkins. And the artist and color artist is Colleen Doran. It was supposed to come out June 24th. Don't know when it's coming out. It's 128 pages for $14.99. Matt Hawkins tends to do these trades where it's, you know, four, five, six issues. But he doesn't do the $9.99 because he tends to wrap up the story in that first thing, and maybe revisit the story later on with a different volume if it does well. But I'll tell you one thing. Matt Hawkins is an amazing writer. Amazing. What he does best, in my opinion, is sci-fi, this stuff with this medical, I wouldn't even know how to describe it, but stuff like either technology, medical, scientific background, where he goes into deep exposition in the back matter of the book. And it's just captivating, really excellent. On these trade paperbacks, I don't know if they give you the back matter, but I'm hoping they do, because the back matter in the comics was excellent. And it collects issues 1 through 4. And it's basically, within 3 weeks, hundreds of millions of healthy people worldwide contract various forms of aggressive cancer. And the proliferation, seemingly a viral outbreak, stumps the best scientific minds available. But after a leading cancer researcher loses his wife and watches his 9-year-old daughter begin to succumb to the same illness, he must race against the clock to end a global conspiracy that will propel the world straight into World War III, or worse. So, kind of on the nose, because we're all experienced, not weaponized. We hope this is not weaponized, Corona. But this is an excellent book. I think you guys will enjoy it. Anytime that Matt Hawkins is writing a book, I buy it. Anytime he's writing a comic, I buy it. He's a good person. He's a great writer. He's not a good writer. He's a great writer. And not enough people check out his stuff. So this is one you definitely need to check out. That's on page 65. On to my next pick.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. And my first pick this month comes from the Dark Horse section on page 94 with You Look Like Death, Tales from the Umbrella Academy, number 1 of 6. Since Dr. Moe also picked this issue, I'll spare you having to listen to me read the solicit again. I'll just say that I have enjoyed the Umbrella Academy ever since its very first miniseries was published by Dark Horse, back in the middle of the previous decade, and I've kept up with the next two miniseries, so I'm looking forward to reading another edition of the Umbrella Academy. Back to you, John.
Dr. Moe here with a Dark Horse pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's You Look Like Death, Tales from the Umbrella Academy, number 1. This Umbrella Academy spinoff series features an 18-year-old seance, the Umbrella Academy sibling with the ability to communicate with the dead. He has been kicked out of the institution by his father, Professor Hargreaves, and seance decides he's going to take his act on the road to Hollywood. I'm going to assume hijinks ensue, along with some psychedelic, drugged out dream sequences. You know, I'm sure he'll be talking to a few dead people, probably some dead film stars. We'll see what happens. If you are a fan of the Umbrella Academy franchise, you'll definitely want to pick this up. According to the solicitations, it's the first Umbrella Academy spinoff series. We've gotten a couple one-shots in addition to the the two previous Umbrella Academy series released by Dark Horse. The writer for You Look Like Death is Gerard Way, who is one of the co-creators of the Umbrella Academy, along with co-writer Sean Simon. The two have worked together on True Lies of the Fabulous Killjoys and the current version of the Doom Patrol that DC is publishing, which coincidentally, kind of waiting for that final issue of Doom Patrol. So as of this recording, it hasn't come out. Maybe it'll come out someday. We'll see. The artwork is not by Ba and Moon, the regular artists for the Umbrella Academy. It's by a British artist named I.N.G. Colbert. Now, Colbert, I know, is a 2000 AD artist. He's worked on titles such as Vertigo's, The New Dead Guardians. He's got a new book, I believe it's called Everything, from Dark Horse. He has I would consider a clean style, a lot of lines. It looks, I wouldn't necessarily say cartoony. It does have a bit of cartooning in his artwork, but I think it will fit very nicely in the realm of the Umbrella Academy. I believe I saw a preview page or something online, and I think that this artist, based on what I based on my experience, he's capable of drawing anything. He makes it look good. And oftentimes his style look reminds me of Chris Sprouse. There's some similarities there. I really do like Colbert's line work. Now, I personally don't think You Look Like Death is a series for new people who are kind of newish to the Umbrella Academy. But I could be wrong. I think this series is certainly for the diehards. Probably if you're familiar with the Netflix version of Seance, because that character on the Netflix series really stole the series oftentimes. A lot of wacky hijinks and so forth. So if you're coming just off of Netflix, I'd say dip your toe into this, but I definitely think if you're an Umbrella Academy diehard, this series is for you. You Look Like Death, Tales from the Umbrella Academy, number 1, can be found on page 94 in the Dark Horse section of previews and costs $3.99.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the Dark Horse section, this time on page 98 with Barb Alien Red Planet number 1 of 5, written by Tate Bromball. Gabriel Hernandez Walta does the cover and story art. Jordy Belair is the colorist, and Odd Koch does a variant cover. On sale June 24th, full color, 32 pages for $3.99. A groundbreaking new sci-fi action series in the world of the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer universe about prejudice, honor, and identity. Mark Marx has found his place on Earth as both a decorated police officer and as the beloved superhero Barb Alien. But in the midst of the AIDS crisis, hatred from all sides makes balancing these identities seem impossible, especially when a Martian enemy from the past hunt him down to take him back dead or alive. If you've listened to my clips on past preview spotlight episodes, you know how much I enjoy the Black Hammer universe. Much like Invincible, Black Hammer explores the superhero genre in ways that Marvel and DC either can't or won't, because they have to worry about keeping their characters still viable as properties that can be used in TVs, movies, video games, or other media. Barb Alien is pretty much an analog of the Martian Manhunter from DC Comics and explores the character's feelings of alienation, not just on Earth, but in his home Martian civilization as well. So if you enjoy a fresh look at the superhero genre, I would highly recommend Barb Alien Red Planet number 1. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the Dark Horse section on page 100 with Colonel Weird Cosmagogue number 304, written by Jeff Lemire. Tyler Crook is the story and cover artist, with John McCrae with Mike Spencer doing a variant cover. On sale June 17th, full color, 32 pages for $3.99. From the world of the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer series comes a bizarre sci-fi adventure origin story. Forced by cosmic powers to watch eternity unfold simultaneously, a dazed Colonel Weird wanders dazed through the counterculture movement of the 60s, his own origins and a murder investigation, struggling to find a way out of the pattern. Colonel Weird is an analog of the DC Silver Age character Adam Strange. Colonel Weird is also a member of the Black Hammer universe of characters. So, since I already explained in the last clip why I enjoy the Black Hammer universe so much, I'll just simply say I highly recommend Colonel Weird Cosmagogue number 3.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. Now, this one I'm going to focus on something a little bit later, but I did flip past because I don't want to have too many picks. It's kind of crazy, and I'm honestly running short on time because I'm still working. I'm an essential worker, and I got a lot on my plate. I got some employees and just a whole heap of their problems, strategic, working from home. Just constant headaches, losing my mind with this stuff. But I skipped over Barb Alien Red Planet. I'm hoping someone else shouts that out from Jeff Lemire, his Black Hammer. But the one I wanted to focus on this time in Dark Horse is on page 105. We have a new Orville book, The Orville Launch Day, part 1 of 2. Now, what Dark Horse has been doing, they've been launching these little Orville miniseries, I guess you would call it, but they're only 2 issues long. The characters, the creative team is the same as the last one, I believe. The characters are true to the TV show, so when I read the book, they sound and behave and act just like the characters do in the TV show, which I find the TV show hilarious and serious at the same time, which is weird. A better version of Star Trek than Star Trek, the Orville is. The Orville was my preferred Star Trek until they took it to Hulu, where I don't have a Hulu subscription, so to never be seen again by me. So I pick up my Orville in comic form. David Goodman's the writer, David Cabeza is the artist, and this is dealing with some krill ships. I'm not going to read this one to you because if you've seen the Orville, you're going to want to pick this up. If you haven't seen the Orville, watch the show. It may be worth a Hulu subscription. Pay for it for 1 month and then cancel it. See if you like it. I loved it. I just have too much stuff to watch and not enough time to watch it. Yeah, with the lockdown, a lot of people are sitting at home and they're able to do stuff. I'm not. I'm running between 2 offices because, like I said, I'm essential and dealing with more headaches than ever. So I have less time than ever. It's a disaster. All the stress and even less time. So on to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the Dark Horse section, this time on page 110 with X-Ray Robot number 4 of 4. Mike Allred is the writer, cover, and story artist. Laura Allred, his wife, is the colorist. And Trad Moore is a variant cover artist. On sale June 24th, full color 32 pages for $3.99. After an incredible trip through infinite universes, super scientist Max Wilding stumbles upon hidden truths and a climactic battle with consequences that ripple through dimensions and time itself. I have to thank my son for discovering Michael Allred's artwork. Back when he was a boy, my son saw a team-up between Michael Allred's character Madman and Superman, and I really enjoyed his style. It's kind of retro. It seems like it would perfectly fit the Silver Age, but is not dated or behind the times. It's really great cartoony style. I just received the first issue of this miniseries today in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, so I haven't had a chance to read it, but I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it. So I would recommend the miniseries X-Ray Robot, which I'm sure will soon be collected in a collected edition.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. And this time I went ahead and I went into the DC supplemental. There's a ton of material in here. I'm waiting for other people to send in their clips. As I'm recording this, there's not very many people who've sent in clips. So I'm hoping more than just me and one other person voice on the podcast. That would be kind of depressing. But the one that I'm going to focus on, just because nobody's picked anything that I can see yet, is in DC, and it's one of the first things that I looked at. You open up the cover, and you're sitting there, Deceased, Dead Planet. I've been really enjoying Deceased by Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor is an excellent writer, probably one of the best writers at DC. I'm not going to say the best, because it depends on the month. They go back, you know, different writers take the spot of the best at that month, at that time of the month, but overall, he's an excellent writer. And he tends to do well with these out of continuity books. So that just seems to be his forte. I could see them making an omnibus out of all this DC stuff when they collect it all. But Tom Taylor, and the art is by a whole list of artists, so I'm not going to read all of those. The thing that I've been enjoying, I don't know, maybe there's a theme here. I told you guys to read the clock. Here we are dealing with a pandemic. This is another deadly one. But it's a pandemic unlike what we're going through with this virus. This is something where people were looking at their screens. Anybody who was looking at screens when this thing came out, it's basically messed up your mind and made you, I guess you could say the equivalent of a zombie would be okay, except you're not hungry for brains, you're hungry for death. And a lot of people don't like that because they like the characters, you know, being good and true to who they are. But this is an Elseworlds type thing. This is not DCU. I find this series very fun. It's maybe not the lightest thing. So if you're looking to decompress, this is not something you're going to want to read. But if you like a little darker tinge on the DCU, this is something that you'll find fun. It's 6 issues long. The first issue is 40 pages for $5.99. And the covers are, there's a variant cover on it. I'm probably going to get Francesco Mattina, the cover A. But there's a Ben Oliver on here, so if that's something you're into. And I recommend, like I said, everyone should check this out. Deceased was excellent. I know it's not for John, but for those of you who do like to take a dip into the darker side of the DCU, this is something you'll enjoy. On to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with the DC pick. For the preview spotlight episode, it's Batman Three Jokers. Number one, the long-awaited miniseries is here, spinning out of the New 52 version of Justice League, number 50, and DC Universe Rebirth, number one, which were both written by the series writer Geoff Johns. In Batman 3 Jokers, we are supposed to learn that quintessential mystery, that mystery of the Sphinx in the DC Universe. Are there three Jokers? You know, what's going on here? Perhaps Bruce, along with his co-stars, Jason Todd, the Red Hood, and Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, can figure out this deeply held DC Universe mystery. Now, I'm curious, though, in terms of DC continuity, where this is going to go. Because since this project was initially announced, DC continuity has been somewhat of a flux. We see that the events of Doomsday Clock doesn't quite line up the way it was supposed to. And it kind of makes sense that Doomsday Clock didn't, because the DC universe had kind of moved on and was different things were occurring. So I'm wondering if we're going to get the same sort of thing here with Batman 3 Jokers. So, for those of you who are worried about exactly how this storyline fits in continuity, the route that I'm going to take is I'm just here for the story. It's something that I've been looking for that has been so hyped over the years.
again, like Doomsday Clock, that I'm here just to see how the story wraps up. And then my mind will just have to figure out where it kind of fits in continuity. Now, especially given that this book has now fallen under the Black Label imprint. Now, is that because it is quasi-continuity-ish? Is it because the content matter? We'll see. But given that the pedigree of the artistic team involved, we got writer Jeff Johns. We have artist Jason Fabok. And Jason, let me talk about Jason Fabok for a second. I mean, the man's artwork has just gone leaps and bounds over the years. I mean, he's been hyping this book on his Twitter page for a very long time, showing us pictures of Batman's tread. I mean, we occasionally see Red Hood's mask. He's done a very good job of just keeping this book alive while it's being created. My understanding is that it's done, or at least written and drawn, and that it should be coming out on a regular schedule, which would be a very nice change, DC Comics, from what we got with Doomsday Clock. There is no reason why essentially a 3-issue mini should take until 2022 to complete. Batman, Three Jokers can be found on page 4 of the DC Comics supplement and costs $6.99. Yes, you heard me right. $6.99, but again, it's a Black Label title. Dr. Mo here with another DC pick for the Previews Spotlight episode. It's Dark Knight's Death Metal number 2. Continuing Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's gonzo epic, in which the heroes of the DC universe, particularly the trinity of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, take on Perpetua and the Batman Who Laughs. Like Batman Three Jokers, Dark Knight Death Metal continues a storyline from the pages of Justice League. Now, granted, this is the Scott Snyder Justice League series that started a couple years ago. Clearly, there's a pattern here with DC Comics and kicking off big books that spin out of the pages of Justice League. Well, not really much is known about the content of Dark Knight's Death Metal number 2 in the solicitation. However, we do get a mention of Swamp Thing. The cover shows Batman getting a monster truck. There's also a mention of Lobo. Interesting stuff all around. Again, I trust this creative team. They know how to amp up the level of crazy. Quite frankly, I think sometimes they go over the crazy cliff, but I am entertained, and that is what matters for me. Dark Knight's Death Metal number 2 can be found on page 6 of the DC supplement and costs $4.99.
My next pick is on page 13 of the DC previews. It is Wonder Woman 759. Now, you might be a little surprised I'm picking Wonder Woman. I mean, yeah, sure, I've been reading it forever and a day, but I also haven't been, you know, totally thrilled with it of late. But the reason I'm picking this one, we've got a new creative team. We've got New York Times bestseller Mariko Tamaki as the new writer. But more importantly, in my opinion, not that there's anything wrong with that writer, but Mikhail Janin is coming on the art. The guy is phenomenal. We've also got David Marquez doing the covers. This just looks like a really great creative team to put on this title, particularly, again, on the art. That's going to be amazing. And I'm hoping they can really give this title the shot in the arm it needs, because it's been kind of struggling a little lately, in my opinion. And I'm looking forward to a new take, a new direction, and hopefully a return to greatness for the character. So, new creative team, worth checking out this issue. So once again, Wonder Woman 759 on page 13 of the DC previews.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes in the DC Comics insert on page 24 with Action Comics number 1024, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with story and cover art by John Romita Jr. and Klaus Janson, variant cover by Lucio Parrillo, and Wonder Woman 1984 variant cover by Frank Cho. The city of Metropolis has been rocked by Luthor's latest attack and the drama surrounding Superman's truth, and that gives the Invisible Mafia a new foothold to change the city of tomorrow forever. Meanwhile, the Daily Planet is under siege. The fallout from Superman villains continues as Clark Kent steps into the world as a reporter for the first time. On sale June 24th, 32 pages for $3.99. Now, I'm not sure about the whole situation with Superman's truth, and I won't spoil it here, but I've enjoyed Brian Michael Bendis' run on the Superman title so far, so I'm going to keep reading it and keep an open mind. So I recommend Action Comics 1024. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics section on page 27 with Batman The Adventure Continues number 2, written by Paul Dini and Alan Burnett, art by Ty Templeton, with cover by Sean Murphy and variant cover by Dustin Nguyen. Slade Wilson has come to Gotham City, and his arrival is making the Dark Knight very suspicious. Robin, on the other hand, thinks the swashbuckling mercenary is just here to help. Is Deathstroke a friend or foe, and what are his plans for Batman? On sale June 3rd, this is a 6-issue miniseries, and it has 32 pages for $3.99. If you enjoyed the Batman animated series from the 90s, it's written by two of the producers, Paul Dini and Alan Burnett, so that's all I need to pick up Batman The Adventure Continues number 2.
Hey everyone, this is Nick Fenner with my first pick of the month from the April previews catalog. I'm recording this at about the beginning of April 2020, so hopefully everybody is doing all right out there. Kind of a crazy world the way things are going right now. Hopefully these comics will in fact come out and come out sooner rather than later. That being said, my first pick comes from page 33 of the DC Special Previews catalog. It's The Flash, number 757, written by Joshua Williamson and art by Howard Porter. And I have to say, Howard Porter's art's always been one of my favorite, but especially out of this kind of post-rebirth Flash run, it's the art that I've gravitated to the most. The solicitation for this one says that the Legion of Zoom, part one. As the Flash's greatest enemies, Gorilla Grodd, the Turtle, Trickster, and Captain Cold attack Central City at the same time, the fastest man alive finds he's not fast enough to stop them all or save everyone in danger. And I wanted to highlight this one this month, even though there is, in fact, another issue of The Flash coming out later, just because the fact that I think the thing that makes The Flash the greatest is he always runs faster than whatever the problem is, and he always faces the rogues. And this is kind of a back-to-basics story, it sounds like, for sure, by Joshua Williamson and Howard Porter, who've done some pretty decent work together on the title in the last couple of years. And even if it's nothing earth-shattering, I'm sure it's at least going to be average Flash material, and that is always pretty good.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics insert on page 42, with Legion of Superheroes number 8, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with story and cover art by Ryan Sook, and a variant cover by Dustin Nguyen. The United Planets are at war as a new epic begins. The President of the United Planets is unable to maintain peace as Ultra Boy's homeworld of Rimbor and Chameleon Boy's homeworld of Durla declare interplanetary war. With the Legion of Superheroes choosing sides and a civil war brewing, will these young heroes need to split into separate teams? Plus, Superboy makes a discovery about the future that will change everything he knows. There is a new Krypton. Find out what happens next in the only book telling you the future of DC Comics every month. On sale June 3rd, 32 pages for $3.99. Now, in past Preview Spotlight episodes, I've mentioned how, after the Superman titles, the Legion of Superheroes are my next favorite superhero group, so I'm really glad that DC Comics has finally started publishing the Legion of Superheroes again, and I hope the series is successful enough that it keeps going for a very long time.
Hey everyone, this is Nick with my next pick. It's from page 45 of the DC Special Previews catalog, and this is Man-Bat number 2. And this is a part 2 of 5 of miniseries. I always kind of appreciate with the fact that the Man-Bat is kind of, you know, the play on the reverse of Batman, and you get to see kind of the feral side of that concept. But in this case, it does seem like Man-Bat is going to be facing the Suicide Squad in this particular issue. It's written by Dave Wilgos. Hopefully, again, I've said that name correctly. I didn't realize how to say it after last month, so hopefully that's right. And the art is by Sumit Kumar, who did the art for these Savage Shores from Vault Comics last year, the year before. And also is featured in the last Detective Comics annual. I think that was Detective Comics annual number 3. He did some of the art there. So definitely a interesting combination here of you know, the concept with some good, I guess I'd call his art kind of a little scratchy or noirish. Definitely something that fits within the Batman family of titles. So hopefully this miniseries is good, and I'll be looking forward to the second issue of it coming out sometime in the near future, hopefully.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics insert on page 47, with Metal Men number 9, written by Dan DiDio, with art by Shane Davis and Michelle Dalecki, cover by Shane Davis, with a cardstock variant cover by Brian Boland. Back at the pit the nth Metal Man came out of, something strange is happening. Is this a portal into the dark multiverse, or something worse? It's up to Tina Gold and nth Metal Man to go investigate, and along the way they run into the Phantom Stranger. Back in Manhattan, the other Metal Men have to figure out how to defeat Kimo and get him out of the city before there's a radiation reaction that can melt through more than just metal. On sale June 17th, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is the ninth of a 12-issue miniseries. The cardstock variant cover is $4.99. Now, I'm old enough to remember seeing the original Metal Men in ads in different DC comic books I read in the 1960s, so that's all it took for me to be fascinated by this group of characters. And I haven't read a whole lot, I think, beyond a few team-ups with other DC heroes. The only thing I've really read of the Metal Men is Dan Jurgens' miniseries a couple of decades ago. So I'm enjoying seeing the Metal Men in the modern DC universe. So I would recommend you pick up Metal Men number 9. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics insert on page 53 with Superman number 24, written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Kevin Maguire, cover by Ivan Reis and Joe Prado with a variant cover by Brian Hitch. And a Wonder Woman 1984 variant cover is done by Gabriel Delato. Superman's legendary susceptibility to magic is about to turn his life inside out and upside down. A mysterious new villain has come into Superman's world to pit him against the most powerful sorcerer and agent for the Lords of Order, Dr. Fate, on sale June 10th, 32 pages for $3.99. As I mentioned in the previous clip, I've enjoyed Brian Michael Bendis' run on the Superman titles so far, so I would recommend you pick up Superman number 24.
Hey everyone, it's Nick Fenner again with another pick from the DC Special Previews catalog. This is coming from page 70, and it's a follow-up on a title I recommended last month, kind of from their reprints selection of the catalog, you know, where the dollar comics and the facsimile editions are. They've got this new line that they've added called DC Classics, which ranges some of the dollar reprints as well as some... I'm sorry, not dollar reprints. These are $2 reprints, which collect, you know, the same types of material. I'm curious to see, are they trying to go with maybe like the classic ads and all that kind of stuff, like the facsimile, or just kind of a little bit more premium version of the dollar comics. But from the cover art and everything, it looks like it's, you know, a replica of the exact issues that are being printed here. And it says, or the one that I'm highlighting specifically, is DC Classics, The Batman Adventures number 2. This is a reprint of the old series, and by this being number 2, following up from number 1 last month, it does seem like quite possibly DC plans on maybe running through a whole print of the Batman Adventures comic series from back in the 90s. So this is the issue number 2, written by Kelly Puckett, art and cover by Ty Templeton and Rick Burkett. And the solicitation, for anybody who hasn't read this series before, it says, in the second issue of this new all-ages reprint series, Batman jets off to London to stop Catwoman from stealing the crown jewels. Again, this is $1.99, listed as a 32-page comic, and as the title mentions on the front page of the comic, based on the hit Fox TV show. So if you were a fan of the Batman animated series, definitely be sure to check this one out. Hey guys, this is Nick with another pick from the DC Special Previews catalog. Again, from kind of the reprint section at the back on page 71. This time, a Dollar Comics. It's Dollar Comics Saga of the Swamp Thing number 21 for $1, 32 pages. This is Alan Moore's first issue of the Swamp Thing from back in the 80s. So that issue, the art was by Tom Yeats, and the cover is by Steve Bizette and John Tottleman. Hopefully you've had a chance to read some of the Saga of the Swamp Thing by Alan Moore, but if not, this is the perfect chance to read that first issue. And it does a pretty decent job of setting you kind of on the footing for what type of storytelling Alan Moore is going to be using going forward. Kind of a preview of some of the best type of art that series has to offer. This has been reprinted, you know, any number of times, but just for a dollar here, it's hard to pass up. And if you're considering, you know, like jumping in to buy the Absolute Swamp Thing collections that have been previously solicited, this would definitely be the chance to get a free, nice, or almost free, nice printed preview of some of that. Now, I am kind of curious to see. They are mentioning here that it's, you know, solicited to coincide with that. So I'd be curious to see if this might use some of that new coloring that was done for the Absolute collections, or if this is kind of the standard touched-up art that had been circulating in the previews, been in the reprints the last couple of years. So be sure to check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics section on page 71 with Dollar Comics Saga of the Swamp Thing number 21. Since Nick's Picks is also doing a clip on this issue, I'll spare you having to listen to the solicit being read again. I'll just mention that my very first issue of the Swamp Thing was back in issue number 10. So, unfortunately, I missed Alan Moore's run on the Swamp Thing, which began with this very issue. While I have read this issue before, I'm not sure I have it in my collection, so for a dollar, I'm going to pick up this reprint of Saga of the Swamp Thing number 21.
And we are back with another episode of the Comic Book Pages Monthly Previews Edition. This is a milestone edition, as has probably already been said over and over by now. This is Brawlinator.
Chris Brawley on the Slack channel. It's Brawlinator, though. I've got a handful of picks this month from the previews catalogs. I'm actually going to stick to Marvel and DC. And so my very first pick this month is on page 77. And also, I'm going to stick with collected editions because I have a feeling that collected editions are definitely going to come out if we're still dealing with coronavirus concerns. Who knows when the new stuff's going to come out. I do believe the collected editions will, and even if not, these are still good picks. First pick, page 77, lower right corner of the DC previews. It's Superman, The Man of Steel, Volume 1, written by John Byrne and Marv Wolfman, with art by John Byrne, Dick Giordano, Jerry Ordway, and several others. This is right after Crisis on Infinite Earths, and John Byrne did some of his early work for DC, reimagining Superman for a new era. And this collects the six-issue Man of Steel miniseries, but it also includes Superman 1 through 4, Adventures of Superman, numbers 424 to 428, and Action Comics 584 through 587. I am assured by Sam and Andy Tom that this is definitive. This is 480 pages. Comes out in late July. Cover price is $50. I guarantee you can get a good, sweet deal on this from Cowabunga or DCBS. Check it out again on page 77 of this month's previews.
Hey everyone, it's Nick with kind of a bonus pick. At first, I wasn't going to record on this particular title because I haven't seen the first issue yet. But this is coming from page 160 in the main previews catalog. It's Sea of Sorrows number 2 by IDW. And I feel like I had seen that this might be a mini series at some point, but it's not advertised like that here. So hopefully it's more of a longer term ongoing, at least, you know, for maybe two or three story arcs, if nothing else. This is written by Rich Dueck, and the artist and the cover artist is Alex Cormack, who, if you happen to read any of the Sync series that was being published a couple years ago, or Road of Bones, he's the artist from that, just kind of a, you know, to kind of give you an idea of what type of art might be in there. Definitely somebody who's geared towards horror comics, and this is an under-the-sea style horror. It says, historical horror at its finest. The gripping tale of terror beneath the ocean continues. Tensions rise among the crew of the Vagabond as technical delays and mechanical failures frustrate their salvage of the sunken U-boat, Bremen. But the siren song of sunken gold is nothing compared to the seductive power of the monster stalking them all. So, sounds like it's got all the hallmarks of a nice horror story. You know, people trapped in a situation they can't get out of. Mystical beasts, maybe, with some sirens. Who knows what we'll run into exactly. But, I definitely think this one is worth checking out if the preview art from last month's catalog was indicative of what we can expect from the title going forward.
My next pick is still in the IDW section on the bottom of page 163 with Usagi Yojimbo number 11. Stan Sakai is still the writer, story, and cover artist, and it's 32 pages, full color, for $3.99. The Return, Part 1 of 4. Usagi is back in his home province for a pilgrimage to his late lord's gravesite. However, wearing the Mifune clan crest in Lord Hikiji's territory has made him an enemy. Now beaten and almost near death, he has made his way to the one place he had been avoiding, the village in which he grew up. Bittersweet memories awaken with his longtime love until the village becomes embroiled in a plot to assassinate an emissary of the shogun. I enjoy Usagi Yojimbo because it steps out of the superhero genre, and even though the characters are all anthropomorphic animals, it explores Japanese history and culture. And I always enjoy a character-driven story, especially when it explores his past, which is a bonus. And another reason why I recommend Usagi Yojimbo number 11. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is in the IDW section on page 163 with Usagi Yojimbo Color Classics number 6. Stan Sakai is the writer, cover, and story artist. It's full color for $3.99, containing 32 pages. Join Usagi on one of his most famous adventures as he meets a formidable and very unusual opponent in Zata Ina, the blind sword pig. Also included in this issue is A Quiet Meal, which proves to be anything but, colored by Rhonda Patterson. I was late in picking up Usagi's adventures when it was still being published by Dark Horse Comics, so I'm glad that IDW is reprinting his earliest adventures, which were published in black and white.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I've left the DC supplemental and I went to the Marvel supplemental. In Marvel supplemental, we have the first thing that caught my eye, just like with the DC, I opened the book. Not X of Swords, that's just an advertisement. I flipped the page, and we got Nonstop Spider-Man by Joe Kelly and Chris Bacalo. Bacalo? I don't know how you pronounce his name. I like Chris Bacalo. His art is different. I don't love it. It doesn't bother me. I remember it can pull me out sometimes, but if he does it right, it draws me in because it's so different. So I'm going to give it a try and think he's going to do well. Joe Kelly, great writer. People know Joe Kelly. Won't go into that. And this is saying, it says, buckle up, Tiger. Get ready for the most action-packed, pulse-pounding, adrenaline-pumping comic of all time. As the name implies, once you've read page one, panel one, Spider-Man does not stop. A mystery at Empire State University thrusts Spider-Man into an adventure that starts in uptown Manhattan and will take him around the world, pitting him against Marvel Universe villains, old and new, and give you a Spider-Man adventure and Spider-Man, the likes of which you've never seen. So, I don't know. It's going to be pulse-pounding, apparently. It's going to be complete action. It doesn't say if this is going to be an ongoing or a miniseries or a one-shot, but I wouldn't think this would go on forever. But I'm on board. Sounds like some action. Sounds like something fun. We all need fun in our life. And with Joe Kelly writing this, he's usually a good writer. I'm on board. So, on to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with a Marvel pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Giant Size X-Men Storm, number one. The Giant Size X-Men Storm reunites that fabulous duo of Jonathan Hickman, who is kind of guiding the X-Line at this point, and artist extraordinaire Russell Dodderman. The pair worked on that fabulously looking Jean Grey and Emma Frost Giant Size issue that came out earlier this year. And I have to say, while Giant Size Jean Grey and Emma Frost looked fabulous, it could have used a little bit more words. Just saying, that's a thing. I understand the whole concept behind that issue. Could have used a little bit more words, but that's okay. I'm hoping that this reteaming of that creative duo will give us a more wordy book. I think Russell Dodderman is the perfect choice to draw this issue. His Storm drawings that he has done previously look fabulous. And she looks so regal and like the goddess that she is. And I'm sure Dodderman will put all of that on display. Now the story, again, kind of builds or continues something that began in, I believe it was issue 5 of X-Men, carried into Giant Size X-Men, Jean Grey, Emma Frost, and I believe it will conclude at least this current arc of Storm in this one shot. Storm to date, during the whole House of X, Powers of X, Dawn of X era, has been, you know, Kate Pryde's right hand over in Marauders. She sits on the Quiet Council. She's been, I would say, helping to guide things. I wouldn't necessarily say that Storm has been an overly active participant, but to be fair, these days it seems like the big three in the X universe have been Xavier, Magneto, Apocalypse, and you might as well throw more McTaggart in there in the shadows as well. And so, you know, who we look at as the traditional leaders of the X-Men, I would say they're filling more subservient roles, but they're sort of looking to these older mutants for guidance. I am curious to see Storm and Black Panther cross paths. We know in this era that, you know, Wakanda's one nation, Krakoa's a nation. Both of them are trying to sell their goods and products on the open market. Curious to see what does it look like when the former queen of a nation, who is now ruling a new nation, you know, interacts with her old nation. Kind of an interesting question. I'm sure Hickman's probably thought about these things, and it'll play off at some point. But I know that right now, you know, this issue is dealing with, again, the aftermath of Giant Size X-Men, Jean Grey, and Emma Frost. So, again, I have a feeling, because Jonathan Hickman's name is on this, that it's going to be a key part of this current era of X-Men comics. Again, it's going to look fabulous. I suggest you pick it up. Giant Size X-Men Storm number 1 can be found on page 34 of the Marvel Supplement of Previews and costs $4.99.
Hey, this is James. I decided I'm going to break John Mayer's rules. Why? Because we're in the apocalypse. we're in the pandemic. And because I feel like breaking the rules. I'm sorry, John. Please forgive me. And the reason why is I was going through the back of Marvel's catalogs, and I can't decide on which omnibus I want to point out that I'm going to buy, because I'm probably going to buy all of them, and I don't want to record 5 clips. So I'm going to be very brief. I'm going to point out the omnibus that I am getting. On page 102, you have the Uncanny X-Men omnibus. On page 103, you have Marvel Horror Lives Again omnibus. There's a whole slew of creators. This is going back to, you know, Silver, Bronze Age stuff. This is great. Marvel Horror. I mean, who's not going to like this stuff? Just so you know, the Excalibur Omnibus is reprinted in there. Maybe getting that. Conan the Barbarian by Kurt Busiek. The stuff that he did over at Dark Horse, which was amazing. I have it in singles. I have that material in epics. I'm going to triple dip and get the omnibus as well. And then why would I not get that Conan omnibus when on the following page, on page 107, we have Conan the Barbarian, the original Marvel Years, omnibus volume 5. Yes, I have the first 4. I will be getting the 5th one. This takes us through issue, let me see, 149. I think they're going to go all the way to 200 and whatever they left off with. I think it was 270-something. I'm going to get them all in omnibus edition. Give me more Conan. I can't get enough. Just keep printing omnibus. I'll keep buying them. And then the last but not least, yes, it is my favorite character. Yes, it is my favorite artist run of this character. When I say artist, creator run, because the writer is Peter David. Peter David's Incredible Hulk by Peter David, Omnibus Volume 2. Yes, I bought the first one. Yes, I'm going to buy the second one. This is amazing material. You guys got to read this stuff. This is probably the best run of Hulk of all time, Peter David. So pick up the omnibuy of that. I mean, there's some others that give it a run for its money, but it's, you know, it goes back to my childhood and or my youth, and I just loved it. There's just so much good omnibus material that's coming out that I'm hoping it sees light of day. And if it does, I will buy probably every one of these and be slightly broke because of it. But oh well, that's what I'm going to do. On to my next pick.
Brawlinator again. For my next pick, I am on page 105. It's the Excalibur Omnibus Volume 1, and this was from Chris Claremont and Alan Davis. This collects the one-shots, which I'm sure you've seen several of them in the back-issue bin dollar or 50-cent or 25-cent section. Excalibur's Mojo Mayhem, Excalibur Weird War 3, which was from 1990. But this is from 1998, that special edition when it came out. I thought it was spectacular. This also collects the next 49 issues, of which Alan Davis, Claremont did several. Alan Davis stuck with it for quite a while and even wound up writing it. You've also got creators like Ron Lim, who I loved on Silver Surfer during this era, Marshall Rogers, Dennis Jensen, Rick Leonardi, Chris Wozniak, Barry Windsor Smith, Ron Wagner, Doug Braithwaite, Will Simpson, and Arthur Adams. Let me read the solicit here. The sword is drawn as Captain Britain and his metamorphic paramour, Megan, band together with former X-Men Nightcrawler, Shadowcat, and Rachel Phoenix Summers, plus Lockheed the Dragon and the mysterious Widget from their lighthouse base. I think this was when the X-Men had disappeared in Australia somewhere. I'm trying to remember. I guess I could look it up. But it doesn't matter. This is crazy. It was beautiful. It was fun. The Crosstime Caper stands out. It's included in here. Sweeping Excalibur across the Marvel multiverse. This was really a special era. Except no substitutions. The new Excalibur and anything that followed this series. Couldn't touch it. Seriously, could not touch it. This is classic Marvel from the late 80s. Check it out. It is on page 105 of the Marvel Previews catalog, Excalibur Omnibus Volume 1. Brawlinator again, and I am still in Marvels, and I am just on the very next page. I'm on page 106. Of course, I'm getting what's on page 105, but this 106, I'm looking forward to sampling this. I really like the larger cover, not the inset, but the larger cover there. This is Conan the Barbarian Omnibus. You've probably heard me say Conan the Barbarian Omnibus over and over. You know, over there to the right, it's the Marvel years. This, on the left-hand side, on page 106, is the Dark Horse era. And it's written by none other than Kurt Busiek, Fabian Nicieza, and Len Wein. It's penciled by Kerry Nord, Thomas Yates, Greg Ruth, Tom Mandrake, John Severin, Tim Truman, Eric Powell, Raphael Kyanen, Kelly Jones, and more. This is basically Kurt Busiek reinventing Conan and the Hyborian Age with a very gritty new take. I liked Marvel's take. I've heard good things about this. I've just never read it. I think this has about 35 issues in it. No, looks like 39, 40 issues. It's 1,000 pages. And this is effectively Conan the Barbarian from Dark Horse. Marvel's got the license, so they're packaging it up, and they do it so well. It's that oversized trim. It's the omnibus. It's $125 cover. You can get a sweet deal, and you know how. Check it out. Again, it's on page 106. I know my Conan bros are picking this up. Brawlinator again, omnibus alert. Yes, it's page 109, Incredible Hulk by Peter David. This is Dale Keown at his prime artwork. Seriously, this, I fell in love with the Hulk all over again when this came out. It's incredible storytelling, incredible artwork. You've got some other creators that got in there somehow. But this is issues 369 through 400, a few annuals, issue of X Factor, and some material from Marvel's Holiday Special number 2. I guess they're just scraping up every bit of Peter David that they can find. But the main artist on this era, and look for that Keown anniversary. Both these covers are Keown, either one. This comes out in September. It's 1,048 pages. It's some of the best Hulk I've ever read, and I am a fan of the character and this era. I used to think John Buscema was the best Hulk artist until this came along, and man, it's just awesome. Just totally awesome. I hope you got the first edition. If you did, then you don't want to miss this one. It's on page 109 of this month's previews. Peter David's Hulk Omnibus.
Hey everyone, this is Nick jumping over into the Marvel Special Previews catalog, and I'm skipping past all the ongoing stuff. Just want to touch briefly on, or highlight as I'm running past it, the Spider-Man Noir with art by Juan Ferreira. Definitely check that one out. And I want to highlight what I'm here for, which is The Eternals by Jack Kirby, the complete collection trade paperback, remastered cover. That's how it's listed in the catalog. They also are soliciting what's been solicited before, which is the direct market version only version of this book, which is the classic cover with the Eternals number one cover art as colored by Jack Kirby, or as colored back on the original art. I prefer that to kind of the more, I don't know if it's nice to call it gaudy, but kind of a, I don't know, it just all comes out muted when they do the recoloring of this classic art. But whichever one you like, they're both $40, 384 pages, collect the Eternals number 1 through 19, and Annual number 1 from back in the 70s. And this was all written and penciled by Jack Kirby. And if you know anything about the story, basically this was all meant to be kind of isolated as its own sort of narrative by Kirby, and then later was sort of spun into the main continuity of Marvel Comics. There's other ways to collect this that have been solicited in the last couple of months. There's even a king-size version of some of this that's being solicited this month. But I think what you're getting here, basically, you know, 20-plus issues worth of comics, especially something kind of foundational to the Marvel Universe and done by none other than Jack Kirby. It's definitely worth checking out in the complete collection. Trade paperback is definitely kind of a nice, easy way to read. You don't have to worry about big, bulky books that you're carrying around. Very easy just to jump right into. And Marvel does a pretty good job with those collections as well. I'll read the solicitation here. Hopefully, if you're interested in the Eternals movie, this will get you kind of geared up for some of the basic concepts. I'm pretty sure they're going to go, you know, with some of the later material for actually trying to collect this or connect this to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But for this, it says, imagine a race of immortal beings possessed by seemingly limitless superhuman abilities. Once worshipped as gods, this fantastic group left Earth to explore the stars after warring with the Greek, Roman, and Norse pantheons for supremacy over mankind. They are the elementals, and they are just one part of a cosmic mythology. Their opposites, the deviants, also secretly populate the Earth, while the towering cosmic entities that created both, the celestials, are fated to arrive and judge our planet. This is but the beginning of an epic cosmology of gods and men that sprang forth from the limitless imagination of Jack the King Kirby, the co-creator of Captain America, the X-Men, the Avengers, and more. Now Kirby's Eternals epic is collected, complete, in this single volume, collecting, again as I mentioned before, Eternals number 1 through 19, and Annual number 1. Hey everyone, this is Nick with another pick from the Marvel Special Previews catalog. And I believe this looks like it's coming from page 140, but I don't see a page number here. It's another collection, the Silver Surfer Parable story by Stan Lee and Mobius from back in 1988 has been collected here again in a new printing of the trade paperback. I believe last year there was kind of an oversized hardcover of this that was put out there, but I'm assuming this will probably be standard trade paperback sized. It's listed at 88 pages and $14.99. Collects both of those issues, and really nothing else has to be said except Stan Lee and Mobius. If you're familiar with the art style of Mobius, or you're a fan of Silver Surfer, I think this is definitely a must pick up. So check it out, get the trade paperback, or again, like I said, if you're looking for kind of a hardcover collection, they put out a very large collection of this last year that was, I think, almost about the size of an absolute comic, you know, those kind of height and width dimensions.
Brawlinator again, and this is my last pick of the month of Previews episode 150, the Milestone Edition. This comes out in July. It's a collected edition. It's on page 146 of the Marvel Previews. This is Star Wars from the Journals of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, this was first introduced back in Star Wars number 6 by Jason Aaron, and these are stories from Obi-Wan Kenobi's journal, and they stand alone, standalone stories, but there was a little bit of connectivity, and You've got issues 7, 15, 20, 26 through 30, and some material from issue number 37. Basically, it's all the Kenobi adventures collected in one edition. If you're a fan of Obi-Wan Kenobi, I know that the Jason Aaron era of Star Wars with Salvador LaRocca, Mike Mayhew, and Simon Bianchi, man, just firing on all cylinders. If you're a Star Wars fan, if you're an Obi-Wan Kenobi fan, you may want to pick this up. It's 192 pages. Its retail is $20. You can get that for about half that. You guys have your resources, I know. But check this out. It's Star Wars from the Journals of Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's a trade paperback. It says, Lost Tales of the Jedi Revealed. Obi-Wan has slowly adjusted to his life of exile in Tatooine, secretly protecting young Luke Skywalker. But now, injustice reigns as villainous scum run rampant, extorting moisture farmers and wreaking havoc. Will old Ben risk revealing himself to do what's right? And when Jabba the Hutt hires a bounty hunter to find out who's been thwarting his men, Obi-Wan must take on the galaxy's deadliest Wookiee. I can't even pronounce the rest. Check it out. Guys, it's on page 146 of this month's previews. I hope you guys enjoyed my picks this month. There were several others. You guys were picking some good stuff. The Orville number one, and Dr. Moe is picking the Three Jokers number one, and James is picking Irredeemable, that omnibus, bunch of omnibus from him, and Nick getting that Silver Surfer parable. Boy, that's a great story. If you don't have that, must get it. And that Eternals complete collection, the trade is awesome. There's also that monster size Eternals, which I think is a little overpriced, and I don't know where I would fit it on my shelf, but it is out there. So guys, some good picks this month. I know you're going to find something you like. Check it out. John, also, I just wanted to say, I don't know what the status is going to be of previews going forward, but John, thank you so much for creating all this infotainment for us. I really appreciate the way you handle yourself on the show, on the forums. You're really unflappable, and I know you love the medium. And even when you are a critic of certain aspects of it, I know it's because you love it so much and you have high expectations. So do we all. Guys, love y'all. Let's have a great summer, and let's stay healthy, stay safe, and let's read some more comics while we're at home. See ya.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick, this time, comes from the Dynamite section on page 190 with The Boys, Dear Becky number 3. It's full color, 32 pages, superhero satire for $3.99, and it's the third issue of a 6-issue miniseries, and it is for mature readers. The writer is Garth Ennis, the artist is Russ Braun, with the cover artist Derek Robertson, who was the story artist of the original Boys series. Huey fills Annie in on some of the CIA's anti-soup tactics in the years since the Boys were last around, but she has some pressing questions of her own. As Butcher finds himself in a sticky spot with the Children of Stormfront, he realizes Becky's influence is a good deal harder to escape than he'd thought. I read the first several issues of the original series, but I had to drop it because of budgetary reasons, but I did enjoy what I read. So I'm making sure I pick up the sequel to the original series, and I hope to eventually pick up the rest of the original series in trade paperback.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. And this time, I'm on page 194 in the previous catalog, and I'm in the Dynamite section. And the thing that I'm going to point out, because I keep pointing it out, and I feel like not enough people are reading it, is Red Sonja by Mark Russell. He was my favorite other publisher writer last year for 2019. His run on Red Sonja has been excellent. Some people don't like the art. That's fine. But the story itself is amazing. And the art does not pull you out of the book. So when you look at it as a whole, amazing, 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 amazing stuff. One of the better takes on Red Sonja that I've read, I enjoy her being the leader. I enjoy her being the leader of a nation. It's almost like King Conan, but with Red Sonja, so Queen Sonja. but not Queen Sonya. That was the title in the past, but basically Queen Sonya. Very good, fresh take. I've been enjoying it. It was supposed to go 12 issues. It's done so well, and so many people enjoyed it that Mark Russell just kept going with it, and I'm completely on board. Yes, you can get caught up on trade paperbacks of this, and I think you should read it. The one on the following page, Killing Red Sonya, is also by Mark Russell. The art in there is very poor. If you are an art critic, do not read Killing Red Sonya. That's one I actually did not care for. But Red Sonya title itself is up to number 17. Very good. Bob Q's in the art. Check it out. On to my next pick.
Dr. Mo here with a Boom Studios pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm going to assume there's going to be a colon here or a dash. Willow, number one. This Willow series spins out of the events of the Buffy and Angel Hellmouth crossover series. In that series, the Scoobies, in addition to Angel and Buffy, faced a number of trials and tribulations, especially Willow Rosenberg. And in it, it fundamentally changed Willow Rosenberg. I have been enjoying what they've been doing with this character in the main Buffy the Vampire Slayer series. It's this interesting mix of some things that we saw in the TV show, we didn't see in the TV show. If anything, when it comes to Willow's connection with magic, it's a bit different, but they sped up some things that happened in the show, or at least when it comes to her dabbling in magic. Okay. I think and I hope that this series will be essential reading. It's not written by the main Buffy the Vampire Slayer writer, Jordi Belair. It's written by Mariko Tamaki. She is a name familiar to comics fans. She's done some work at DC and at Marvel. She's going to be picking up Wonder Woman soon. The artwork is going to be provided by Natasha Bustos. She was the artist on Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. I'm hoping it's not going to be as cartoony. Well, I take it back. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur look very young. So if we get an art that's more akin to Squirrel Girl, because I believe this artist has done some work on Squirrel Girl, I'll be perfectly fine. But really, I'm just here to see how this series sort of dovetails back into the main Buffy series. I've really been enjoying, I would like to say, 75 to 80% of what's been going on in the Buffy and Angel series that Boom Studios has been producing. Now, John and James reviewed the first issue of the Buffy and Angel Hellmouth crossover event. I bought the entire series. I bought the main crossover title, and then the Buffy and Angel series with their tie-in issues. Quite frankly, I think that the Buffy and Angel stuff was way superior than what we got in the main crossover book. And like I said, it really does a good job, those two series, of breaking down what was going on with the other characters when Buffy and Angel were in that main crossover book. And as I said earlier in this clip, Willow Rosenberg got a lot of spotlight during that time period, and hopefully this series will pay off of that. Buffy the Vampire Slayer Willow can be found on page 204 of previews and costs $3.99.
My next pick is on page 208. It is Power Rangers Ranger Slayer number 1. Now, this is written by Ryan Parrott, who's been doing a lot of the stuff with the Power Rangers franchise lately over at Boom. Dan Moore is doing the art. He's been doing, again, quite a bit of the Power Rangers stuff over at Boom lately, so solid creative team. And this is basically setting the stage for kind of the next epic they're doing. It's a 48-page, I think it's a one-shot, but honestly, I'm not entirely sure about that. It is $7.99, so a little expensive. But, you know, twice the page count, twice the price, okay, I'm fine with that. This is taking Ranger Slayer, which is the Kimberly Hart, the original pink Power Ranger, but from an alternate timeline in which Tommy Oliver, the Green Ranger, went evil and, like, destroyed everything. That's what led into the Shattered Grid storyline, and this is basically her going back to her universe, where they know her as basically this villain, and she's turned over a new leaf in the meanwhile. So I'm curious how that's going to play out, what they're going to, you know, establish as the new status quo over in that universe, and how exactly this kicks off that next, you know, epic for the Power Rangers. They've been doing some great stuff here. They say this is a good jumping on point for new readers. Hopefully it is. Basically, Boom has taken the Power Rangers franchise that's been successful on TV for a quarter of a century and done great things with it over in the comic book realm, turning it into a standard kind of superhero franchise in a way that it just hadn't been in comics before. So I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to this issue and whatever that next Power Rangers epic is going to be. I don't know that they're ever going to be able to top what they did with Shattered Grid, because I think it was just great and really a defining arc for the overall Power Rangers franchise, including the TV side. So I'm looking forward to what they do here and think you should check it out. So once again, Power Rangers Ranger Slayer number 1 on page 208.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is from the Boom Studios section on page 212 with Irredeemable Discover Yours Edition number 1. Written by Mark Waid, illustrated by Peter Krause, with a cover by John Cassaday. It's scheduled to be published June 3rd, and it's just $1 for 32 pages. Discover the debut issue of the superhero series that broke all the rules. The acclaimed team of writer Mark Waid, Kingdom Come and the Avengers, and artist Peter Krause, The Power of Shazam, challenge everything you think you know about superheroes by exploring the good, the bad, and the irredeemable inside even the greatest of us all. I wasn't able to squeeze this series into my comic book budget when it first was published, but for $1 I couldn't resist picking up this reprint of the series' very first issue.
Hey, this is James back with my last pick. I was just running short of time. I just didn't have time to go through the whole back half and pick out a lot of things, which I normally do. And the thing that kind of stood out to me, just because I never read it, I'm going to ask for some advice before I put in my order for when, who knows when it's coming out or who knows when it's shipping, but I'll put in my order with Eric over there at Cowabunga, is there's a new Irredeemable. It's called Irredeemable Discover Yours Edition number 1, which is a reprint of the first book for $1 of Irredeemable. But actually, I'm probably not going to get that. That's just if you want to sample it. What I'm looking at is over on page 213, and it's the Irredeemable Omnibus, which is a soft cover omnibus, $49.99, $50, but you get 896 pages, so it's the whole darn thing, written by Mark Waid. I love Mark Waid. He's an excellent writer. I'm not going to read you the artist on this, because the list is really long. I guess a lot of artists worked on it. I have heard this is good. I do not know what the story is about, and that's why I'm going to ask for your advice before I buy it, but it caught my eye because it's a writer that I like, and I've heard that it was good. What it's about, don't know. So let me read you the solicit. When the Plutonian, the world's greatest superhero, snaps and turns into the world's greatest villain, I already like that premise, only his former teammates have a chance at stopping his rampage. What became of the hope and promise once inside of him? What happens to the world when its savior betrays it? What makes a hero irredeemable? For the first time, the entire Irredeemable saga is available in a single volume. And then it talks about, you know, the acclaimed writer, blah, blah, blah. But it collects Irredeemable's issues number 1 through 37, and Irredeemable Special number 1, and Incorruptible 25 through 26. I don't know what Incorruptible was, but I guess it tied into this Irredeemable. It sounds like a darker take on a superhero, maybe a la The Cape, which I have read by Joe Hill. Don't know. Haven't read it. I like stuff like that. Just reading this, I was like, I'm in. Unless someone tells me that it's not good material on the Slack channel and why, I'm going to pick this up. So one thing, before I ended, that was my last pick this month. I want to say thanks to all of you guys for sending your clips. I want to say thanks to all of you guys for being patient with me, because I've been stressed, so sometimes that comes out in the Slack channel. Sometimes it comes out when John and I are reviewing books. I think we're all stressed right now, and I like to get away and have fun, and kind of hard to have fun. I feel like all my hobbies, all my things that I did to relieve stress are being taken away slowly from my gym shutting down, to trips I was supposed to go on to get out of town to decompress being taken away, to the comics now being taken away, to being able to socialize, have a drink at the bar, taken away. So basically we're down to reading back issues alone, chatting online, spending time with my wife. I like spending time with her, but you know, we can't even go out to eat. So just frustration, and we're all feeling it. So try to decompress any way you can, hoping for better times. And I'm really looking forward to your picks, because it cheers me up when I hear all the different voices and you guys point out things that, you know, make you happy, get you excited about the industry we all love. So until next time, I bid you adieu.
My last pick of the month is on page 316, and it is the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide, volume number 50. That's right, this is the 50th Overstreet Price Guide. I've been picking these up since volume 13 or 14, I think? I'd have to actually go check, but for many a year. I find it a great reference not only for how the price has fluctuated over time, but where first appearances are, how the market's been doing year to year, what titles actually exist in some cases, and just it's a wealth of information. And for me, getting the soft cover every year for the $30 or whatever they're charging now, well worth it, and it's a great reference. In this day and age where prices fluctuate quickly and there's a lot of online resources, I get the decreased need of it for the price guide aspect itself, but there is a lot more to it in terms of market analysis and other articles and things like that, that it's worth checking out. So if you've never gotten an Overstreet price guide, maybe it's not worth buying one, but it's worth checking out your local library or something like that to see if they have a copy and you can at least flip through it, or your local comic shop. If you're into back issues and buying a lot of those and stuff like that, it is a great resource. So once again, that's the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide, Volume 50, on page 316 of the Previews catalog.
Hey everyone, this is Nick with my final pick for the month. This is coming from all the way at the back of the comic section of the main Previews catalog. This is from Titan Comics on page 363. I'm looking at a book. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this at least somewhat close. Nagaliad, The God Network. It's a hardcover put out from the Statix Press imprint of Titan Comics, which will collect these various European comics, typically kind of existing European album style comics. So I'd imagine this hardcover will be of that kind of oversized format. It's listed at 208 pages for $39.99. Not scheduled for release until October 7th, so hopefully, you know, kind of after things are a little bit back to normal. Writer and artist on this is Vincent Perriot, and there's a lot of different advertising for it here on this page that describes it as various kinds of mashups. The headline there is Jurassic Park, Mad Max, and The Matrix rolled into one in brand new dystopian thriller. The main solicitation says, follow Jari, a lone dinosaur shepherd, as he embarks on a journey of justice and revenge to the technological cities, intent on tearing down the Totalian government that has taken everything from him. The writer and author of this won some kind of an award, I'm assuming over in France, for the work that he did, and looking up some of the preview art that I could find online. It also looks like you can see some of this artwork blown up, but it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like, kind of a cross between kind of a desolate wasteland with maybe like some almost steampunkish kind of, you know, flying machines and that kind of thing. Really looks pretty cool. Any of the Statix Press books that I've ever picked up from IDW have been really great. And especially I think if you've got an appreciation for the European style comics or anything with dinosaurs, you will definitely appreciate this one. So check it out, coming out later this year.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick this month comes all the way back in the calendar section on page 438 with the vintage DC Comics Superman 2021 wall calendar from Asgard Press. It's 11 by 15 with 24 pages, full color for $16.95. I have been picking up these calendars from Asgard Press for a few years now. Each month features a different cover from a past issue of Superman from the Golden and Silver Age. Another nice thing about this calendar is that it's perforated. So once the year is over, you can tear the pages off and display these past Superman covers on your wall. There are also some classic DC calendars featuring the world's finest comics, Batman and Wonder Woman, as well as The Flash, not to mention various Marvel calendars, as well as other pop culture calendars. There's a wide variety of calendars to suit your pop culture taste. If you order them from discount comic book service like I am, they won't arrive with your June comic books. They will come later in the year, sometime in the fall during October or November. Obviously, with the current situation, there's no telling when regular comic book distribution will resume, but I always enjoy looking at the various calendars each April in previews. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. I hope all of you stay safe and healthy out there, whether you're a comic book reader, retailer, or distributor, and may all of you keep your head above water financially. Once this crisis is over, may we, like our ancestors in the past, be able to bounce back and rebuild our lives and build a better future.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. You know, I'm recording my clip on Friday, April 3rd. The reason why I'm putting a date on this is it's for future reference. If someone, two or three years down the line come across this, this preview spotlight episode 150. This is the one where we celebrate comics. This is like a major milestone where, we talk about the comics we love and so forth. But for this particular episode, it's a little bit unusual, bittersweet, because March 25th was the last day of new release comics. Literally, the comic book industry basically shut down. There are new comics that came out on Wednesday, April 1st, 2020. And it's kind of ironic it was on April Fool's Day. So basically, it just sounded like everything just came to a complete halt. And again, if you're listening to this in the future, 5 years from now or whatever, again, basically it's like the comic book industry, like most other industries, like retail and so forth, just came to a grinding halt. I want to say, John, congratulations to the previous spotlight episode, 50th episode. And like I said, it's a little bittersweet. This clip is basically going to be focusing on the Hero Initiative. And the Hero Initiative is an organization that helps comic book creators during really rough times, like, this is something we've never seen before, or even, in any given year. The Hero Initiative is basically helps comic book creators, through some rough times, whether it's just trying to help make a month's rent, or to help pay for some, medical bills, and I know most of you right now, sometimes we're struggling with money right now, whether it's now or sometime in the future, and you want to know, how can I give? Or some of you guys may go, I only can give $5, that's good. That's all they ask for. It's just some type of donation, and you can donate to the heroinitiative.org. Again, any type of donation, any type of monetary donation, they will appreciate it. Again, whether it's just $5, whether it's, $20, whether it's $100, they will appreciate it. And again, these cases, are reviewed, and if I guess if they meet the certain criteria, you know, they financially help comic book creators. Again, to help them probably with like to pay medical bills or, you know, or rent or something like that. So again, I just encourage everyone to, you know, if you guys can, you know, please, you know, support the Hero Initiative. You know, please donate. You know, I donated, I believe it was like last month. Yeah, last month in March. And I'm going to probably donate sometime in, you know, in April. You know, and again, it's, I'm just going to give something small, probably like 10 bucks or something, you know, whatever I can afford. You know, but again, like I said, guys, I just encourage you guys, you know, these comic book creators, you know, they, you know, again, the previous Spotlight episode, you know, we celebrate the comics that we love. You know, it's now, and I'm going to say, I'm going to be blunt and honest. I think this is our time, our turn to, you know, to give back to these comic book creators. You know, so again, you know, I just ask if you guys can, you know, just donate something small to the heroinitiative.org to help out, you know, these comic book creators, you know, who create, you know, who create the comics that we love. And this is a hobby that we all love. Thank you very much for listening, guys. You know, thank you very much. Until next time. Aloha.
As I record this on April 4th, everything I'm seeing indicates that these orders for this previews catalog are still due on the regular time frame. According to previewsworld.com, they want orders in by April 18th. Check with your local retailer. Even if you're not pre-ordering, check with your local retailer. See how they're doing. See if they're still in business, if they've got a curbside pickup, if they've got delivery, if they've got back issues and trades that you're interested in that you can pick up to help support them. We are in a really bizarre time for the comic industry right now. This is the first, you know, shutdown of new comics that I have ever seen, and I've been dealing with comic stores and the direct market and stuff for at least 40 years now. I forget the exact time I first set foot in a direct market store, but this is unprecedented, it is unusual, and it's going to be a rough time for publishers, creators, retailers, distributors, fans, everybody. So we got to pull together and help each other out. And one of the ways to do that is stay in contact with your local store. Even if nothing else, just the show of emotional support could be enough to keep them in business or help them get through the day. If you can give them some financial support by buying some back issues or trades you were interested in and just hadn't had time for before, do that. If for some reason you are financially strapped because of not working, layoffs, or something of that sort, that sucks. I feel for you. If you were a pull list customer at a store, even though they're not getting new material in, do let them know if you're going to be able to continue shopping there or not. If you can't afford it, the sooner they know, the more they can adjust and stuff, so you don't kind of compound the problem. And in the past, my experience has been that while a retailer is never happy to hear that you can't spend money there, they're usually pretty understanding. And I think certainly in this case, given the scope of the pandemic, they'll at least understand if obviously nobody's going to be happy about it. Hopefully it doesn't come to that for most of us, but it could. Now, typically this is where I'd be kind of going over a few stats and stuff like that. Right now, my order is kind of shaping up to be about 4 items from Image, 3 from Dark Horse, 24 from DC, 6 from IDW, 31 from Marvel, nothing from Dynamite, 2 from Boom, and about 5 from the back half. That having been said, I haven't done a deep dive through the catalog to really make some final decisions on a number of things. I've got a lot of things that are kind of in the, I don't know if I want to get them or not category. And I'm throttling back a little bit on a couple of titles and stuff like that. And there are a few that I got to figure out where I want to spend my money and my time. And of course, while these orders are due, we don't know when these things are going to come out. So, I mean, I get the whole uncertainty aspect of the whole thing. I don't think the pandemic is going to radically change what I get, but at this point, I just don't know. I do want to thank everybody who sent in clips this time. So thanks, Billy, Chris, James, Jason, Mo, and Nick. I particularly want to shout out to James and Nick for actually getting their clips in earlier. Most of the clips came in as I record this morning, so I do thank Billy, Jason, Chris, and Mo for sending stuff in. But I'll be honest, I went to bed last night wondering, geez, do I need to extend the deadline? Am I going to have enough content? Is this worth doing? And I think part of it was, I mean, there's the usual everybody's busy and stuff. I think that was compounded by the pandemic, compounded by the suspension of new comics, the almost sense of futility of, do these orders matter? I think we should act as if they do, because I think they do. So I wasn't surprised by both the late turnout and just only having about a half dozen people submit. I will admit, this being, you know, episode 150 of the Preview Spotlight, I was hoping for a much more enthusiastic response, but I also think some of that's, you know, again, the situation in terms of what's being offered and the current status quo of the world that it's being offered in. So, again, this is also why I keep recommending stay in contact with your retailers and help them out, because just that show of emotional support helps. And that's why I really do appreciate everyone for sending in clips. Now, normally I'd be saying, hey, the next Preview Spotlight comes out on, but I don't know when it comes out. Therefore, I don't know when the next Preview Spotlight clips are going to be due. It may be on the regular schedule. It may not be. Stay tuned to the podcast. Also, I've got a place on the front page of the comicbookpage.com website that you can sign up for email reminders. I'm starting to use MailChimp to send those things out just to get the word out. In addition to Preview Spotlights, I've started up a new kind of episode. I'm calling them the Recommendation Roundtables because I couldn't think of a better name. The basic idea here is a chance for you to recommend to your fellow listeners comic books, novels, video games, television shows, movies, pretty much anything else people might enjoy as entertainment options. Now, many of these sorts of things may be available on streaming services such as Kindle Unlimited, Comixology Unlimited, Netflix, Amazon Prime, CBS All Access, Disney Plus, Hulu, or any of the zillions and zillions of other online streaming services. We're not limited to streaming services. That's just one thing of, hey, you know, people might enjoy checking out this show on this service. Hey, let us know. That may be all it takes for us to say, you know what, I should go watch that. Do each distinct pick as a distinct clip. What I mean is if you want to consider a series of items as one pick, that's fine. You want to consider each item as a series as its own pick, that's fine too. Basically, I don't want one pick that covers, you know, a variety of unrelated things, but if they're all related, like you want to recommend the Portal and Portal 2 game or whatever because they're just a sequel or whatever and you like one, you like the other, that's cool. If you want to do one for just one game and another for just the other game, that's fine. But don't do one clip for like a video game and then something else for like a totally unrelated novel and a movie that's not related. Do those as separate picks. The reason I want them as separate picks is it gives me a bit more flexibility as how I put these episodes together. It gives me the option, if it makes sense, to rotate across different people and have it bounce back and forth that way versus, you know, 20 minutes from one person and 13 from another or something like that. It's just, again, some flexibility. There are no set deadlines for these episodes. Instead, as soon as I have enough content for an episode, I'll assemble the episode and put it into the release schedule as soon as I can. The reason I'm doing this is I didn't want people to feel that they had to wait a month before this episode type could even start. I'm ready to kick it out next week if I had enough content. At the moment, I've only got, I think, one person who submitted with like two clips, so not quite enough content yet. And I'm going to continue these even after comics go back into the regular release schedule again, because I think there's always video games, movies, novels, television shows, and things of that sort people might enjoy. This is a way to share our love of kind of just general geek culture to our friends. Now, the show notes are not going to itemize each pick and stuff, so be sure to include in your clip any and all information people need to go find the item you're recommending. If it's on a service, if it costs money, what the title of it is, that sort of a thing. If it's just, hey, I know this is a classic novel, say like the Sherlock Holmes novels by Arthur Conan Doyle. All you gotta say is it's Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes novels. You can go search on Amazon or wherever or do a Google search. That's enough. Just give people enough that if they're excited about what you're recommending they spend their time with, they can actually go find it and do it. We're not limited to things on streaming services. We are not limited to new items. If you've got something that's literally centuries old or something, you know, the work of Shakespeare or something like that, put it out there. You know, the idea is, particularly in these days of stay-at-home orders and stuff like that, sharing ways people can entertain themselves. Obviously, this is a comic book podcast, so that's what people are coming here for, but we're not limited to comic book-related items specifically, but things that are of interest to that audience. Use your own judgment, and we'll see how this goes. In most cases, you don't need to post your picks to the thread I've started on the forum. The exception to that is if you have something that is time-sensitive, such as a discount available for a limited period of time, let me know that as soon as possible. If you want to post that on the forum in the Slack channel so other people could take advantage of the discount offer, please do so. That way, if for some reason I can't get the clip in an episode fast enough, people can still take advantage of the discount. You can send in clips whenever you want, as often as you want. If I get enough clips to do an entire episode from just one person, I'll do it. Again, there's plenty of ways for us to spend our time. This is a great way for you to recommend to your fellow listeners what you enjoy and what they might enjoy too. Now, I set up a Dropbox link that's at the bottom of the first post in the recommendation roundtables thread. If you have problems with the Dropbox process, you can still email the clips to me if you want to. If you have any questions about this whole process, let me know. You can, again, send in stuff on pretty much any form of entertainment that you think we'd find of interest, and just give us a pitch as to why we might find it of interest. So once again, that's the recommendation roundtables. We are starting those up as immediately as possible. In other words, the Dropbox link is live. I've already gotten a few clips. As soon as I get enough for an episode, I'll put it together and I'll release it. Now, it may be that an episode's half an hour long, it may be an hour and a half long. It depends how many clips I've got and when I get them. I'll play it by ear and see how it goes. But I do want to encourage you to submit clips to this as often as you can, because I think people, given the state of the world right now, could use the distractions and forms of entertainment and such. And some of this may be stuff they've either got sitting lying around the house in terms of old books or trades and hardcovers or back issues, or something they can easily get online and help them just enjoy an otherwise, you know, aimless afternoon or something like that. So those are going to start up again as soon as I've got enough content for the recommendation roundtables. I'm going to be pausing the preview spotlight until we get that next previews catalog, at which point I'll send an email out saying, hey, it's coming out, let's get going on this again. Please send in clips to these as often as you can, and just look out for one another, stay safe, stay healthy, go find some comics to read.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.